to this week's episode of the SB Live Washington High School podcast. Typically, this podcast is hosted by Andy Bueller and myself, Dan Dickow, and Todd Millis join to talk about a number of current events in the state of Washington at the high school level. Today's podcast release will be a little bit different. Some somber news from the state of Washington, in particular the high school boys basketball community, and the fact that legendary head coach Ed Pepple, all-time wins leader in the state with over 900 wins, four state titles, passed away earlier this week. Today's podcast is kind of a memorial where I connect with a number of his former players, other coaches from around the state, and people that are very in tune with the state of Washington high school basketball scene. They share their thoughts, their memories, and their appreciation for Coach Ed Pepple. Coach Ed Pepple is somebody that I got to know fairly well back when I was in high school. I graduated in 1997 from Prairie High School before going to the University of Washington and then transferring to Gonzaga. But Coach Pepple was very influential to me in a number of different ways. I think the first way to think, to mention his influence on me was after my freshman year in high school, we had a new coach that moved down from the Seattle area. His name was Eric York. And Eric York was very connected to the high school basketball scene. He came down from Blanchette High School, right in the heart of Seattle. And he was very involved with BCI basketball at the time. And BCI basketball was kind of the precursor to what AAU is these days. And BCI was organized and ran by Ed Pepple. And so Eric York moved down from Seattle, took over the coaching job at Prairie High School where I was. And the fact that I now had a high school coach that understood the potential in me, but also understood how to provide opportunities for me to try out for these teams, to be selected to these teams, to go to these tournaments, and then the knowledge that he had on the recruiting side as things picked up were influential. And that was a direct correlation to Ed Pepple's relationship and friendship with Eric York, who impacted me. Moving along with my connections with Ed Pepple was the opportunity that I had to play for two different BCI teams, two different years. After my sophomore year and then after my junior year, I played on teams that were organized, directed, and led by BCI under Ed Pepple's leadership. So I got to know him and got to know how he cared about high school basketball in the state and providing opportunities for players such as myself, because if you follow AAU now, there are 50, 60 teams throughout the state of Washington at multiple levels that go to these different events. Back then, there were very few teams. And so if you had the opportunity to try out for the BCI team, whether that's going through the Seattle U Spring League to have a chance to be selected, or if you were added at a later time, which was very rare, that was a big deal. And so I was proud to be a part of that program. The other way Coach Pepple really impacted me was going into my senior year of high school. I was already selected to play on the BCI team. I had played for them the year before. At this time, the high school AAU evaluation scene for colleges was much different. And there were two very big events each year. And it was the Nike All-American Camp and it was the Adidas ABCD Camp. And not very many kids from the Northwest, and in particular the state of Washington, had the opportunity to go. Michael Johnson, who was a teammate at University of Washington, played at Ballard High School in Seattle. He went to the Adidas camp as the only Washington kid that year. I was the only person that was invited to the Nike camp that year, and it was because of Coach Ed Pepple. George Raveling was the director of that camp, and George Raveling and I had a conversation, and I remember it clearly. I was having a good camp, and George was one of those guys that wanted to kind of talk to as many campers as possible and kind of hear a little bit about who's recruiting them, how's life, what's going on. And so I remember distinctly George Raveling asked me, "Hey, how's it going here? Are you enjoying it?" And then he asked, "We're glad to have you here. I'm really glad that Coach led us to know who you are and give us the invite because you belong here and you're proving it with your play." And I kind of looked at him and I wasn't 100% sure which coach he was talking about. And he goes, "It was Coach Pepl that really wanted us to make sure you were included and involved in this camp." And so looking back at that, that was, a very influential part of my playing career because I had a good week. I went from a few schools recruiting me then to a lot, and recognizing and realizing that, you know what, I truly can play at a national level. Granted, I have to be in the right setting, the right situation, but I belong with a lot of these guys. And so I owe that great memory to Ed Pepl. Another memory that I'm connected with Coach Pepl would be the 1997 state tournament. It's one of the most fun as well as disappointing memories in my basketball career. We were a Prairie team who really hadn't been very good for my whole career. We made the state tournament and we found ourselves in the semifinals playing against Mercer Island. We played very well through three quarters. We were up going into the game. Brian Brown, who became a teammate at UW and got as hot as anybody I have ever seen to this day. I believe he hit six threes in the fourth quarter. So we ended up losing that game. But I remember thinking, you know, Coach Pepl has been an influence on me. Congrats to him. Hopefully they have a chance to get the championship title the next night. So that's another way that Coach Pepl and I are connected. Looking back, there's been a tremendous amount of outpouring of love and support for Coach Pepl throughout the basketball community in the state of Washington. It's been amazing to see, and I think that's a testament to the impact that high school coaches can have on their players, on other coaches in their communities. I know the state of Washington has lost a good one, and those are a few thoughts and memories that I have about Coach Pepl. There are a number of articles that we have posted to scorebooklive.com/Washington to share a number of other coaches' reactions throughout the state about the somber news of Coach Ed Pepl's passing. As you're listening to this podcast or when you finish up, please head to the website, check it out, and take a moment to reflect on the opportunity that you might have to impact a high school student athlete's life in such a way that Ed Pepl did. Continuing today's podcast, where we're talking to a number of people who are very well connected and very well entrenched in the high school basketball scene in the state of Washington over the last 20, 30 years, talking about the recent passing of one of the greatest coaches in Washington State sports high school history, none other than Ed Pepl. Today, this guest is someone who's special to me and for the fact that he was my high school basketball coach. He had a big influence on me, but he was influenced greatly by Ed Pepl, who we are trying to honor with a number of these conversations. Ed Pepl is someone who kind of motivated and inspired this guest, Eric York, to get into high school coaching. So I want to welcome Eric York, who spent time as a Blanchett head coach in the Metro League as well as Prairie High School down in the Vancouver area before getting into private business. Eric, thanks for joining. I know it's kind of a weird and hard time for a lot of people in Washington State high school basketball because Ed Pepl meant a lot to so many people. What did Ed Pepl mean to you?
Well, Dan, you're right. It's a tough day, and it's a day for me that I've spent a lot of time reflecting on a very great human being that did influence me, who mentored me. I mean, I was a young coach at Blanchette High School at, I'm dating myself, at 25, 26 years old. And I got a phone call from Coach Pepple. I used to watch his Mercer Island teams growing up, but I got a call from him and asked me if I wanted to coach with him on these, what was then BCI, which is now AAU basketball. But I said, well, sure. And so I came along for the ride and I got to sit on the bench. And that's really where I learned a lot about coaching and dealing with people and parents and administrators and everything. And Coach Pepple taught me all of that. He taught me, and I know he taught his players about life. And that's really today what I reflect on and appreciate Coach Pepple for his mentorship and his influence in my life.
You know, that's a very interesting point that you mentioned in word mentorship. When I've talked to a number of people through text message today, as well as recording another podcast, recording as well that will be in conjunction with our conversation, they talked about the fact that Ed Pepple was older, but he took an interest in younger coaches and helping those younger coaches get comfortable learning the game, knowing the game, and impacting future generations. What was it about Coach Pepple and his vision that was so selfless?
Coach, exactly. He wanted to teach. And the one thing that I take is Coach respected you. Coach respected everyone. Coach made the 12th man on his team feel like they were a starter. He made the managers feel like they were just as important as somebody checking into a game. He made the cheerleaders. He made everybody that was a part, the community. He made you feel special and important. And that's what he, as a coach, wanting to learn and learn about how to run a program, how to strategize, what offenses and defenses. Coach just took me under his wing and shared those things. And when I asked questions, was respectful. And it was, I guess, the respect he had for people, whatever background they came from.
You mentioned he made everything and everybody feel special when you got the ability or the opportunity to be around him. One of the special experiences that you and I had an opportunity to share with was the end of my high school career. The last 3 years in high school, I had a chance to play for you. And we were a high school that was, quite frankly, in transition, going from just mediocre to trying to find our way to be really good. And you were a big part of that. You were a big part of my career. And you and I share, I believe, one of both of our most frustrating and disappointing moments in basketball. And that was the 1997 state tournament where Prairie Falcons, we had a tremendous run throughout the season, but we lost to Mercer Island in the semifinals. To this day, one of the greatest basketball games I've ever been a part of, but we ended up on the losing end. Now, my experience must be much different from your experience in the fact that I was just a young player getting started with my career. You were a coach that was influenced by Ed Pepple, and Ed Pepple was on the opposing bench. Walk us through that experience and that memory. And what it was like to face Coach Pepple in such a meaningful year.
Thanks, Dan. Taking me down memory lane here. But, you know, to your point, it was one of the most disappointing high school games in terms of coming out on the other end. But in the bigger picture of all of this, in a day like today, and what Coach Pepple has meant to me, I reflect on that. I walked out on the floor for that game, and my mentor, someone who I had so much respect for, not only in the coaching profession, but just as a human being, and his wife, Shirley. I mean, you can't mention Ed unless you mention Shirley. And, you know, those two people had such an influence and impact, but I walk out on the floor and there's it. And so it was immediately a special moment. And then you get into the game and you forget about all of that. You just start coaching and you play to win. And then it wasn't until after the game when we lost and we're shaking hands and going down the line. That's when I just, I looked at Coach in his eye and we shook hands. And the loss was very hard, but to have lost to Coach Pepple, I don't know. There was just something about that, that as disappointing as it was, the respect that I just wanted him to go on and win another championship.
Well, Eric, I always call you Coach, so I'm going to have to finish with Coach. I appreciate you joining me in reflecting on the impact that Coach Pepple had on Washington State basketball at the high school level, as well as impacting you, who was a young up-and-coming coach at the time. So thank you so much for joining. We appreciate the words, and we wish the Pepple family nothing but the best.
Yep. Thank you, Dan.
Next guest in talking about the influence of Coach Ed Pepple from Mercer Island, one of the most respected coaches of any sport in the entire history of the state of Washington, all-time wins leader in the state. He impacted players not only in his program, but players outside of his program, both on the floor and off the floor. Next guest is somebody who played for Coach Pepple at Mercer Island, also went on to play at the University of Washington before he got into coaching himself for a bit, Scott Didrikson. Scott, how are you, and how are you taking the news of Coach Pepple's passing?
Yeah, I'd say, Dan, it's obviously it's sad. I mean, it's a sad day for me and for all those guys that played for him that really loved him. I would say the sadness, though, you know, he lived such a great life. You know, like he lived a life that made such an impact on people that it's exactly the way you'd want to live your life. And so in that sense, it feels in some ways more like it's a celebration of who he is more than sadness.
Celebration would be a great way to describe it, because he did impact so many people in the game of basketball. And I can imagine for somebody who is around him on a day-to-day basis in his own program, the amount of impact that he had for you. Because I only got to know him through an AAU program, was called BCI at the time. I played for a couple of his teams. You were actually one of the coaches
right.
on one of those teams.
I take a lot of credit for you, Dan, just so you know. I take a lot of credit for your success.
I do appreciate that. But you had a day-to-day interaction with Coach Pepple.
Yeah.
What stands out most when you reflect on the type of man as well as coach that he was?
Yeah, I think a couple of quick things that stand out. One is that I think most people had a picture of him as being – kind of a gruff and angry guy, because they'd see the demeanor on the sidelines where he was pretty intense during games. And I don't think people really understood how fun he was, how funny he was, what a great personality he had. And ultimately how that played out was how he cared about his kids and how he would do anything for them. And so I don't think people saw that side of him when they would just show up to a Mercer Island basketball game. The other thing that really stands out to me that people just may not know was just he was so relentless in pursuing excellence. The reason why Mercer Island basketball had success when he was the head coach, it wasn't because he had, you know, incredible X's and O's that nobody else had or some innovative way of doing things. I shouldn't say that completely. There were some innovative things he did. But in terms of just X's and O's and coaching basketball, he just knew the right way to do it and demanded that you did it that way over and over and over again. And it just led to a lot of success when you practiced and prepared the same way over and over again.
One of the greatest compliments that a young person can give to someone older in their life, whether it's a coach, a teacher, or many times you see it being a parent, is somebody going in the same footsteps as that person who had an impact. Because of the influence that he had on you, is that what spurred you to get into coaching when your playing career was over?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I was playing for him in high school, and like any high school kid, was thinking about like, what do I want to do? What do I want to major in when I go off to college? And it was really simple for me. Like, I wanted to be a high school teacher and a high school basketball coach because of him, 100%. And it's because of what I said earlier. I saw the impact that he was having on people's lives. I saw the impact he was having on me just as a person. And I was like, gosh, I want to do that too. And my life went a different path. I ended up in coaching, a little bit of high school and then in college, and now doing stuff with Young Life. But in the end, I would, you know, outside of my parents, you know, he had the biggest influence on me and on my life, as anyone.
Another guest, as we talk about the unfortunate passing of a high school basketball coaching legend in the state of Washington, Ed Pepple, who all-time wins leader, spent the majority of his time at Mercer Island, was influential in many players' and coaches' lives throughout the state. Today's guest is someone that I feel, in knowing both of them a little bit, had a big imprint on this coach's future in the sport. Coach Chad Forcier, currently with the Milwaukee Bucks, has spent plenty of time in the NBA, college, and high school levels. Chad, thanks for joining. Appreciate it. What was the first thing or the first memory that you had when you heard that Coach Pepple passed?
Well, first off, Dan, I just want to thank you for having me on your show again, and I wish it was under different circumstances, but it is an honor to be with you, and especially to just reflect and celebrate just an amazing life and a life well lived and just an incredible man. You know, strangely enough, I never got to play for Coach Pepple. I didn't go to Mercer Island. I never got to coach for him. I was a competitor, you know, in the King Co Conference at Lake Washington High School, you know, for 3 years as a varsity assistant coach. And so got to, you know, be involved in a lot of battles, you know, with Coach Pepple's teams. And, you know, really the first thing that came to mind when I heard the news yesterday was I felt very grateful because I got to see Coach Pepple almost a year ago. I was on Mercer Island in August, and I was there for Quinn Snyder's mother's funeral, and Coach Pepple and Mrs. Pepple were at the funeral. So I got to reconnect with Coach. It had been a long time, and I just felt, you know, so much joy and pleasure being able to reconnect with him last summer. And so, fortunately, I got to, you know, take a picture with him, and it just, you know, brought back so many wonderful feelings and so much nostalgia of my younger years and the start in my coaching career. And now that picture becomes something that's even more meaningful to me. And that's really what came to mind right away, is just, you know, how grateful I was to see him last summer, and just, you know, to be instantly humbled by another moment in life that we all have sometimes, of just how quickly life can change and really what a difference a year can make, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. But just, you know, a sharp reminder to me of, you know, stay awake and pay attention to all your relationships and all your moments, even in the midst of, you know, of a hasty life.
The first time you and I met was when I was playing for one of Ed Pepple's BCI Washington teams. That's now become, you know, synonymous with AAU, and there's different programs across the state. But we got connected there when I was in high school. For a young coach like yourself at the time, what was the feeling in knowing that kind of the godfather of high school basketball wanted you to help with his programs?
Yeah, it was a complete, you know, honor. And it felt like something that was just so elite, just like you would have felt as a player. I mean, so select, so elite, so prestigious, to be affiliated in any capacity with Coach Pepple and anything that he, you know, was putting his, you know, his hands on or his sweat into. And I just felt, you know, very honored. All I wanted to do was be around and learn. And for him to have any recognition of me as a young coach that could contribute something positive, to his program and to be able to help players like yourself that were elite players that were going to go on to, you know, to high levels of basketball. It was an honor, and I was very, very fortunate and very grateful for that.
Well, Chad, we appreciate the time. It's kind of a interesting podcast memorial that I'm putting together and getting reflections from many people that have been impacted positively from Coach Pepple in his coaching career. So thanks for joining.
And well, Dan, if you got 1 second, let me add one piece. If you got 1 second,
absolutely. I just wanted
to add, you know, first of all, Matt Logie, Coach Pepple's grandson, is a good friend of mine still over all these years. I just want to express my condolences to Matt and his family. I know how close he was to his grandfather, and you know, it's just unique to me because I never obviously played at Mercer Island, but the strangest thing is some of my best friends, I don't know how it happened this way over the years, all played at Mercer Island for Coach Pepple. I mean, whether it's Quinn Snyder or Nate Snyder, Grant Farmer, you know, my roommate in college, Stan Ledbetter, played for him. Scott Didrikson's a great friend. You know, I'm probably forgetting people, but I have so many good friends that played for Coach where I've been able to, you know, kind of live vicariously or, you know, just, you know, hear all the impact that he had on their lives. And strangely enough, even though I just wrapped up 24 years coaching in the NBA, strangely, I got out of high school and I wanted to be a high school coach. And I had never met Coach Pepple that time, but he was a legend. He was a giant. And he was someone that I looked to, even though I didn't know him. And I said, you know, I can build a career like Coach Pepple. And so he did impact me from a really young age, long, long, long before I ever knew him.
Tremendous words. And you're so right in the fact that even though you didn't play for him, you were impacted by him. And the true legacy of a coach is when you have the impact that he had. And it sounds like you've taken that, you've been appreciative of that, and you've used a lot of the lessons that you learned from him to further your career. And I'm sure you're impacting players that you're working with on a daily basis. So, Chad, thanks again for joining.
Thanks, Dan.
We continue our memorial podcast for legendary coach Ed Pepple, all-time winningest basketball coach in the state of Washington, where we talked to some former coaches across the state, reaching out to a number of former players. This former player, someone that I played on some of those BCI traveling teams with, that Ed Pepple was so influential in helping young student athletes in the state get opportunities to be evaluated and continue their education and their basketball career into the college game. Dyron Mobley won a state title in 1997, played a short bit at the University of San Diego where he currently lives. Dyron, thanks for joining. When you heard the unfortunate news about Coach Pepple, what were kind of the first memories that kind of came flooding back to you?
I went all over. Dan, first of all, thanks for having me. It's good to see you. You know, the feelings were a wide range. I'm sure you've heard other people talk about feeling proud of having had a chance to be tutored by a coach or loved or whatever the experience was. It's actually all of the above. And then also some sadness. I went back to being a young boy and starting my love for basketball and how that love grew on Mercer Island. And then I also knew Coach Pepple was a man. Outside of basketball as well. I used to go to his house from time to time with my mother, who was a volunteer for the program, and do programmatic things. So I actually saw some of the X's and O's that go into planning, which was amazing. So it brought back a lot of memories of this complex man who was humorous and intense and disciplined and just all loving. And you don't have too many people like that. So ultimately it was laughter and tears and back and forth. Yesterday, for sure.
A very similar sentiment has been shared by a number of guys that I've reached out to through text message as well as the conversation like we're having. You mentioned before we began recording, because his grandson, Matt Logie, one of your high school teammates, followed in his footsteps and got into coaching, and he's now the head coach at Point Loma down in San Diego where you live. So you had a chance to connect with Ed Pepple over the last year or so when he's come down to visit his grandson, Coach Matt Logie. what was it like to be able to reconnect with him now as a father, but then also seeing him continue in that mentorship role with Matt Logie?
Yeah, to see Matt get the job was awesome, first of all. Matt and I went to daycare together. So my story with the Pepple family goes way back, before we even knew each other. But it was great to be able to see Coach, and the whole family was there, of course. As you know, they do travel as a pack. And getting to see Coach and having him meet my daughter, who was 3 or 4 at the time, was amazing. First thing he did was crack a joke on me in front of her, which was pretty standard. And he just didn't stop. He kept having a good time. And he was that same old, you know, sarcastic, good, fun-loving guy that you could tell how proud he was to see his grandson, which is something we've always been – anybody who was on the island got a chance to see as well. So it was a fun experience from a father to see him, see his grandson, who was very much like a son to him, in that role, and finally, you know, and getting higher and higher up in these ranks of college coaching. And, you know, for me personally, it was awesome for him to get to meet my child and see, you know, the successes of my life, because ultimately that's what he was all about, was us becoming young men and growing into servants and good fathers and good mentors and good role models to serve the next generation. So it was a lot. And I got to see him 3 times. So the first time was all this energy, and the second and third times was a little more jovial and laid back. But I'm extremely grateful to have that opportunity now to add those encounters in the last 6 months.
You know, Coach impacted me in a number of ways, because, you know, at that time there wasn't a lot of travel basketball allowing people at our age at the time to be able to be evaluated in by college coaches and have an opportunity to move to the next level. He was the coach in the state of Washington that vouched for me to be able to go to the Nike All-American camp as the only kid from the state of Washington going into my senior year. So I've got that very big you know, gratefulness towards him. I can only imagine someone like yourself, who grew up in Mercer Island, as a black man and growing up in a black family, but you having shared with me some of your experiences, you know, kind of pulling for Garfield during their heyday, and your family kind of pulling for Garfield as well. You then get to Mercer Island, you start learning the tradition of Mercer Island basketball and how Coach Pepple wants to do it. And the fact is, Coach Pepple was there to help everybody get opportunities, whether you were white, whether you were black, whether you're inner city, whether you lived in a rural community like I did just outside Vancouver, Washington. He just wanted to help kids. Share some of your early interactions with Coach Pepple and the Mercer Island basketball program, because like I mentioned, it sounded like you were trending to want to go play at Garfield. Am I correct?
I wouldn't say I would be going to Garfield, but because of the family connections that my father had with Coach Harrison and Coach Drayton and everybody else, my dad was a dentist and he was their dentist. So, I mean, you know, we had this connectivity with these programs and they were highly successful as well. And it's not to say that Mercer Island wasn't highly successful. It was just two worlds, you know, that we lived in my household, despite just being on Mercer Island. And that's the experience that he spoke to that's a little bit unique. But, you know, having had a chance to go to these games and see these players like Quinn Snyder's and Brian Schwabies, and I can't even remember. There's so many guys that we got to see as little young bucks. And then when you finally get into that little dribblers program in second grade and you get to see all these tall guys that can dunk and can shoot, and oh man, it's on. You know, even if you couldn't play, you wanted to be there and have fun. I remember being there with all my friends, regardless of talent. Girls and boys, didn't matter. You know, you were there. I said men before, but I should say men and women, because there were definitely lots of girls in our camps. And you do that up and through fifth grade. And then you come back and you get more involved if you're lucky enough to, you know, be able to keep up, because it's a competitive environment on Mercer Island as well because of that. And it's that experience from when you're just a little lad, it sticks with you. That's something that I've been having conversations with just strangers. We've all been talking about the Little Dribblers program, the camp in the summertime, and then the Saturday camp throughout the winter, which was just playing scrimmage games with high school coaches as your refs. And it was terrible. It was biased. It was amazing though at the same time. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have these stages of these experiences, if you're able to progress, and each one just layers on top of the next and it prepares you for the next phase, and then it's a layer on what you just did, you know. And it, now that he's passed, I'm sure a lot of us are starting to see the link going backwards. If you weren't thinking about it before, it is flooding my mind. I can't even, for 24 hours now, I've just been flooded with all these memories of this 10-year period of my life and how it's carried through past, way past what I envisioned, just, you know, when we were dribbling balls, working on the courage drill. You guys don't know about that anywhere else. Merch Fallon, we all know what the courage drill is.
It sounds like,
you know what the courage drill is? Yeah, that's when you take the two-handed ball.
Mercer Island.
You know that one, baby. We run that early. Early. And I remember those guys pounding that ball through your legs. And you're like, so then that's one of those memories to teach you that discipline and that pride and these fundamentals. And if you do this right, it's gonna be scary. But you know what? If you do it right, you get it right, it's gonna be good. You're gonna benefit from this in many ways. And that little drill alone just goes to show you how much confidence you can build in yourself. That's a silly drill, but you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You say pride and memories. You won a 1997 state title. Your Mercer Island team beat my team in the semis. You went on to beat a really good Grant Leap Mount Vernon team in 1997 for that championship. Now, I can imagine there's basketball memories tied into that. Brian Brown getting hot against us in the semis, him continuing to play well in the championship, you and then some of the younger players making some big plays down the stretch of both games. So those are the basketball memories. Yeah. But do you have any memories from maybe a message that Coach Pepple had before the state tournament, or maybe was there a specific message after you guys won the state title?
Before. Well, always, but before, I was talking about this yesterday. We coasted in our King Conference in King Coke tournament. We were coasting. We beat the bricks off of some team. We were happy, and he held a special team meeting at his house. And his wife Shirley, she made like nice snacks and cookies and brought over the players only that were playing essentially. And then we sat down and we had the worst film session I've ever been a part of. He never talked like that in any other film session to any of us. And he tore us apart for about 2 hours because we needed it. We were a really good team, but we were starting to buy into that. And that was one of those moments that I'll never forget. It wasn't a specific thing that he said, but he literally tore each and every single one of us apart, technique, bit by bit. I mean, every little thing, like you would do at the top level, not something you would do at the high school level. Man. And he held us accountable to that. And then we went out and that changed the scope of our mindset for the rest of that run. Even though we lost to Mount Vernon in the district tournament, it was the worst performance we had all year, and we were confident going back into the next round. And then something else he did before the tournament, something he did every year, was take us to the gym. And we saw you there, actually. We saw you guys there because your coach was doing the same thing. He's probably doing it because he learned it from Coach Pebble, maybe. But, you know, that's what you did. That's that Hoosiers thing. You go check out the gym and get the jitters out. We are here, and you know, this and that. And I mean, I remember those things. Those are the things that stick with you. As far as his talks go, every talk is amazing, man. There was always something to listen to. A lot of guys remember the talks. I'm more the contextual memory guy. I can remember where we were when we broke us down for this, or pumped us up, or just said something incredibly funny in the middle of practice that I won't say because it, you know, singles out players. But you know, those are the kind of things that you remember. I remember him as a man. It wasn't much basketball for me. For others, it was all about the basketball. But for me, I was watching a father figure. It was somebody I needed at the time too.
Some tremendous memories, some tremendous words of appreciation. Absolutely. For what Coach Pepple meant to you. Dyron, thank you for joining. It's been so fun to talk to a lot of former players or people involved with Mercer Island program. And just sharing just how important Ed Pepple was, not only to their lives, but to the Mercer Island community, as well as Washington State high school basketball hoops as well. So, Dyron, thanks for joining.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, because we never would have met each other had, you know, Coach not have been a part of our lives. That's the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, take care, and thanks for joining.
All right, now.
We continue our podcast memorial for Coach Ed Pepl, someone who, again, was one of the most influential coaches in any sport for high school athletes in the state of Washington, all-time wins leader. He impacted players, he impacted coaches, and he was a very welcoming presence many times for young, new coaches that have moved into the area. This guest, someone I got to know who I played for on a Ed Pepl-led BCI team in high school, coached against him and has the utmost respect for Ed Pepl. Coach John Pilars, who is now in Calabasas High School in Los Angeles County, at the time had some monumental battles between Mercer Island and Lake Washington. Coach John, how are you these days, and what were the first things that came to mind when you heard that Coach Pepl passed?
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my experiences with Coach Pepl. I had a great experience with Coach Pepl when I arrived as a young coach in Seattle in 1994. I was the head coach at Lake Washington when he, of course, had his dynasty going at Mercer Island. And I just can't think of another coach that I've coached against in my career who I had more respect for than Coach Pepl. He, his team played the right way, and his players were always just like gentlemen and ambassadors in the basketball community. So that's, you know, the first thing that I remember about him. You know, we had some great battles. I had some good Lake Washington teams, and we both got deep in the state tournament in the 1994 state tournament, and we lost in the semifinals, and then his team, I think, lost in the finals. But after that season, he explained to me about this program called BCI, Basketball Congress International, which was really one of the first AAU-style programs in the West and in the state of Washington, and gave us the opportunity to promote Washington's players, you know, in national tournaments. And, you know, so he laid the groundwork and was really the pioneer for travel basketball in the state of Washington. And, you know, I had the opportunity to coach you in my second year with BCI, and Brian Scalabrine, you know, who went on to the NBA and is now a media mogul in the first year with BCI. And Coach Pepl just discovered you all, you know, and brought you up to Seattle for a spring league and put it all together. So he deserves, you know, just tremendous credit in the state of Washington for being the dean of coaches and bringing other coaches and young players along.
You mentioned kind of the pioneer of AAU and giving kids from the Washington area the platform to be evaluated by college coaches and to be recruited. What type of time commitment that does that honestly take at those times, before social media, before the internet? Because I can only imagine there's a love of the game of basketball, and there's a love for helping other young student athletes get opportunities. Where do you think that came from for Coach Pepl?
Well, Coach Pepl was, you know, one of the first and original gym rats. You know, he just loved to be around the game and in the gym and with other players and coaches. And, you know, he was a Pied Piper of basketball. You know, what we did specifically, or what he did specifically in those years, was rent out the Seattle University gym on Saturdays during the springtime, and players from all parts of the state, from as far as Spokane, down where you lived in Vancouver, you know, would come up to Seattle University and play in a spring league. And from there, the all-state traveling teams were selected. And so it was all word of mouth. It was all personal relationships. It was, you know, Coach Pepl, you know, he was the person in the state of Washington who had the connections to talk to college coaches directly and had the track record. And if Coach, now Coach Quinn Snyder had been a player for him in Mercer Island and had gone to Duke. And so, you know, all of us just knew that that Coach Pepl was just a phenomenal resource for us to be able to have our players exposed to the broader world of basketball across the United States and coaches at the top level of the profession.
I've talked to a number of players of his over the last day or so, as well as fellow competitive coaches throughout the Seattle area. When you look at the landscape of Seattle basketball during that time frame that you were at Lake Washington. There were lots of different styles. The Metro League was becoming really good. Jamal Crawford and some of the Garfield teams, as well as the Rainier Beach teams, were really starting to win state championships. But the King Co Conference at that time was probably the best conference in the state, if I remember correctly. When you looked at Ed Pepple's teams, what stood out to you?
I'm going to use a word, spots. Coach Pepple ran an offense that in his terminology was called spots. And it was, it utilized the flex cut, but it was far more diversified than just the flex offense. But his teams played seamless basketball. And his players had great skill. And it was the right balance of players having freedom to create their own shots while having that team concept. They ran stuff that was hard to guard. They played unselfishly. Their kids had high basketball IQs. You know, one of the other elements that he developed was also youth basketball, where the kids going to Mercer Island High School began to play together at a youth age. And, you know, so they had run spots since, you know, middle school, if not elementary school. And so I would say it was that high level execution and cohesion. And, you're right to point out some of the powerhouses that developed it, like Rainier Beach and Garfield. But, you know, Mercer Island would beat you with team play and basketball IQ as much as by talent.
Coach, I appreciate the time. As I've reached out to a number of people, everybody has wanted to share their experiences, their memories on Coach Pepple, and I think that shares a lot about the impact that he had on the state as well as coaches like yourself. So, John, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me so much, Dan, and appreciate you taking this time to talk about Coach Pepple. He's a great influence in my life.
Continuing on our podcast memorial for a legendary high school basketball coach from the state of Washington, Ed Pepple, a chance to talk to a number of really influential people in the state of Washington about their experiences with Coach Pepple, maybe some of the things that they have learned from Coach along the way. This guest spent a long time in the NBA. Hopefully he gets another shot next year when things pick back up. Seattle high school basketball legend, somebody that I appreciate the fact that he admires players from multiple different eras and multiple different areas of the state, none other than Jamal Crawford. Jamal, thanks for joining us, and appreciate you being willing to share a few words on Coach Pepple.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Obviously, Coach Pepple is such an icon, right, in Washington high school basketball, right? And everybody that knew him, everybody he encountered, he always treated with respect. You never would have known he accomplished as much as he did on the basketball side because of the person he was. I remember one time, his summer league at SU, and he was actually selling food or something in the concession stand. I'm like, wow, this guy is like amazing. Like he just never was above anybody else. And he always made you feel like that. He was always very warm and always had positive words, always classy, and always had a ton of respect for him.
I played in that same Seattle U Summer League a few years before you. And I do remember kind of Ed being the driving force behind that league and doing whatever was necessary to make it run smoothly for guys like ourselves at that age and our times in our lives to be able to have opportunities. When was the first time maybe that you had a chance to play against an Ed Pepple coached Mercer Island team?
So I came back in 96 going into 97. So the summer of 97, I went to play in a summer tournament with Rainier Beach, and we beat the first team. I think we won like 100-20. I don't remember who we played against. It was my first time playing in the Rainier Beach uniform. And we ended up making the championship against Mercer Island. And I'm moving back here from Seattle, so I didn't really, I mean, from Los Angeles, so I didn't really understand the lore of a Mercer Island coach team and, you know, just how respected they were. And so playing against them, we ended up losing that game in the championship, but we lost by like three or four. It was a really close game. and I had a really good game. And I remember my coach and my teammates were like, man, like that, even though we lost to them that particular day, it gave us a whole different confidence and really set the tone for the rest of the summer tournaments and then going into the season, because Mercer Island and Coach Pebble are the standard. So if you can have any kind of success against them, you took the good away from that. And so for us, it really set the tone. I think we ended up playing maybe four more times total over the course of my high school career. One or two more times in the summer, and then one or two more times in the season. And before the actual tournament started, I'll never forget it. Teams were kind of – the paper was kind of getting people kind of noticing Rainier Beach a little bit. And he said something really, really good about me. And at the time, Doug Wren was unbelievable as well, and a lot of great players. But he said he thought I was the best player in the state. And I was like, whoa, like coming from Coach Pebble, that's like coming from Coach K, right, in the high school world. So I was like shocked by that. And then our relationship grew over the years. I remember in 99, I think, or 2000, I popped up to Mercer Island, played open gym a couple times there. Me and Tyler Besker were good friends. Me and Josh Fisher were good friends. Me and Brandon Miller. And Coach Pebble came and watched. We just always stayed connected. And a few years ago, he actually came by my house and we had lunch. And with Matt, Logie, and Brandon Miller, we were together for probably 2 or 3 hours and just had a good time catching up. And we've always been very, very respectful of one another.
I love the fact that basketball can transcend age differences, and you know, the fact that you're friends with his grandson Matt Logie, who's gone on to have a really good college coaching career, and he was the kind of conduit to have you guys get together for lunch and spend some time together. After that lunch afternoon that you spent, was there anything in particular about Coach Pepple that stood out to you about you know, just him as a person?
Yeah, just his. Obviously, I know he's a wise man and his wisdom, but his character. If you talk to him about those great teams and great players and all the success he's had, it was never about him. It was always about the kids' growth and what they went on to do in life and such a joy they were coaching and all the people that helped with the program. So, obviously, he was the figurehead and everybody knew Coach Pepper, and he's, you know, beyond respect. He's a icon in our state, like we said, in Washington high school basketball, but the character and the class he had at all times was just like out of this world. And that's what I really learned about him that day.
Well, Jamal, I really appreciate your time sharing a little bit about your experiences with Coach Pepple. The one thing that really jumped out at me in that last bit you shared was he was about the kids. And
yes, always. Live,
we're about helping kids understand and know that they're valued. And I want to tell you from the SB Live team, we feel the same way about you. You're always giving back to kids. And it's great to hear that a legendary coach like Coach Pepple all those years had some time spent with you, impacted you, and helped you in your career. And all these years, you're able to look back, reflect, and share those experiences. So, Jamal, we thank you.
Thank you guys as well for giving us the platform. It's funny, I came across some highlights last night on Twitter, and I saw myself in high school, and I tweeted, I was like, this is the most fun I ever had hooping. And so for you guys to give these high schoolers this platform, they don't know this is the most enjoyable time. You play in the NBA, me playing in the NBA, you know it. At that point, it's a lot of other things that come into play, but this is the most pure, fun time they have. You guys are giving them a great platform. So thank you as well.
Appreciate it, Jamal. Have a great day, and hopefully connect soon.
Yes, sir. Talk soon.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast today on SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. We know it was a little bit different of a format, but Coach Ed Pepple lived such a full life and a life that impacted others that, you know, we wanted to do something to honor him and just change what we did this week and bring about a few conversations with people that knew him well, loved him, respected him, and wanted to really kind of pay tribute to his life. Thanks for joining. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your statewide and national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play, to name a few. ScorebookLive.com/Washington is your home for statewide high school coverage. Again, that's ScorebookLive.com/Washington. We're continuing to keep you informed about high school sports and tell the stories of the people who play them, even while sports are on hold. As always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal, for their support. Today's episode was hosted by myself, Dan Dickow, produced by Andy Bueller. This song you're hearing is the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.